hope that you've had a good week. Josh and I went to a concert this week, and I went to bed at the crazy time of midnight, and I have not recovered, really. So I'm feeling real sleepy. It's taken a bit longer these days to, like, become awake. But I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. We're jumping into a new sermon series. It's called With, and it's about reimagining the way that we relate to God. I don't normally do this sort of thing, but this sermon series is based on a book. It's probably in my top three books, and I might even be willing to make the claim that it is, like, my single most favorite book, the most influential book that I've ever read besides Scripture, and it's called With, Reimagining the Way That We Relate to God. Amazing how I came up with the sermon title. And it outlines four different postures of how we relate to God. So we're going to go through that over the next 5 weeks, because there's a fifth posture that he suggests is, like, actually more helpful. So I want to introduce you to these different postures by first introducing you to some interesting characters on my Instagram feed. So I can get caught in the endless scroll of Instagram. I check my screen time, and I'm like, gosh, I'm such an embarrassment to myself. I was talking to someone younger than me the other day. I think she's a freshman, not here, but somewhere else, in college. And I was like, man, my screen time has been so high. It's like 4 hours a day. And her, like, chin, like, hits the ground, and she goes, wait, are you kidding? And I was like, yeah, like, I got an alert that says 4 hours and 4 minutes a day. It was up 19% from last week. And she goes, I've never met someone with screen time under 10 hours a day. And I was like, wait, like, for real? And she's like, yeah, not even my mom. My mom's is higher than mine. And I was like, man. So I lose some of my time in the day. I'm not going to make you admit your screen time if you are an iPhone user. But I get lost in that Instagram scroll. And you can learn a lot by what people post, especially on their stories, because they just, like, disappear, allegedly. And it's entertaining for me to notice, like, just how much you can tell from a person by looking at what they portray on the internet. Obviously, we know that it's not, like, a full picture of our lives, but you can learn a lot. So here are some samples of things I literally read from people who I follow on Instagram. Ready? One, the government's policies about abortion, hot take, has resulted in God removing his provision from our country. Unless we all return to the Lord, our country will not see its blessing. The end days are coming. Number two, people who follow the Christian God are just slaves to religion. There is a better transcendent life once you deconstruct and practice spirituality, not religion. Number three, I am declaring God's promises over my life. He has blessed me so much that I was able to buy a house and a car in the same month. Hashtag blessed. And number four, I'm so excited to finally travel to Kenya and take God's love to the people in those villages. It's such a good feeling to do the Lord's work. Have you heard people talk like this or post these sorts of things on the World Wide Web? Yeah. So these are really tiny examples of the four different postures that we often take in our relationship to God. So that first one about the government's policies is what we're going to call life under God. That second one about people being slaves to religion is life over God. They don't really need God. God's not something they consider. They've transcended to this, like, higher reality. That third one about declaring God's promises over our life, being hashtag blessed, is what we're going to call life from God. And then that final one, traveling to Kenya to do the Lord's work, is what we're going to call life for God. And maybe, like, you feel like one of those is better than the others. Or, like, you could rank those in, like, more faithful to Scripture, less faithful to Scripture. But what I want to suggest in this series is that actually all four of those are wrong. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to dig pretty deep into a more faithful posture. Life with God is what we are invited into. And tonight, we're going to examine that life under God approach. So tonight, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. It'll be on the screen, or you can flip in your Bible or your phone, whatever you want. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad," which, learning moment for you, are these things that like Jewish men would put on their foreheads, and it was like a reminder of the law. And their fringes long, so like talking about their robes. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogue, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not called to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the gift of your word, the gift of your son, Jesus, and the lessons that we can still dig out of scripture today. I pray that you would soften our hearts towards you, Lord, that we'd be willing to hear what it is that your spirit has to say. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So Renaissance philosopher Niccolo Machiavelli is famous for this quote: "It is better to be feared than loved if one cannot be both." Regional manager of Dunder Mifflin Paper Company, Michael Scott, is famous for the quote: "Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy. Both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me." Machiavelli's quote is a good snapshot of how some of us might consider the world's relationship with God. Like all of creation relates to God. Like we fear him, but we're not so sure that we love him. When I was playing sports in high school, some coaches wanted to be feared because they believed that that was a better way to control the team. And if we think back to the early origins of religion in general, most of it honestly comes from the want for control. People were living in a world full of chaos, very little science to understand anything going on. There are droughts and floods and famine, fires. So what did they do? They created stories about different gods. And all of a sudden, if you need more rain or less rain, you can pray and make sacrifices to the god of rain, and hopefully you are obedient enough to get what you want. Humans created a system of control for those gods. If we follow the rules and if we appease these gods, they're not going to be angry with us. So they spent all their time trying to make gods happy. And the same story was pretty true for the Israelites too. The book of Leviticus is all about our God, Yahweh, creating a new way of life for the people of Israel. They weren't really used to having one singular God, so they strayed a lot. They built golden calves and they worshiped other things. They didn't always listen. And they struggled a lot with thinking this, that God is up there in heaven, just waiting for us to mess up so that he can punish us. A lot of us in this room haven't really moved past that way of thinking about God. I remember when I was a kid, for whatever reason, someone was like, "What do you picture when you picture God?" And my answer was that God is a 12-foot man who vaguely resembles Santa, and he's sitting in the clouds and he's judging people. He's mad, and he's kind of like leaning over this podium with this like grimace on his face and a gavel, like ready to just like throw down. Probably some mix of like Zeus and Santa. So we fear God, like I was afraid of God, but did I love him? Fear often turns to anger, and anger leads to suffering. That's a quote made famous by Yoda, our homeboy from Star Wars. Love him. But Jesus has some things to say, so I wanna talk about his quotes, about this life under God worldview. So God isn't sitting around waiting to punish you. God desires a relationship with you. So verse 3, Jesus tells us to do what the Pharisees teach, but don't you dare do what they do. They're not acting like out of the love of God. Obedience is still important, but it should be coming out of our love for God, not just our fear and need to follow the rules. So in the Jewish faith, rabbis had something called a yoke, which is basically just their teaching and their understanding of the law. And you would follow a rabbi, and therefore you would take that rabbi's yoke upon you, and you would follow it. So Jesus accuses these religious leaders of having too heavy of a yoke. The people are carrying a really heavy weight. They're making up a bunch of complicated rules for everyone to follow, and basically they're adding things to God's law. They're saying, okay, that says this, but you have to do this too. And it's too heavy for the people to bear. But the religious leaders like being seen as popular and knowledgeable and powerful. But there are a couple things that are really, really wrong with the life under God posture. So we create this system to mitigate our fears, but we're still afraid. We just turned that fear of like the chaos of the world into the fear of God, like we're terrified of God. So we just put our fear in a different spot. It's not like we're at ease. And the second thing that's pretty wrong with this picture is that we make it okay to manipulate God. If I obey God, I deserve a reward. And that can be really tempting, right? It's like, okay, I didn't do all of these things. I'm going to be really good. When I was a teenager, I'd be like, okay, God, I promise I will never break another rule again if whatever I wanted. And I'd pray that prayer like 6 times a week. And he's like, okay, Sadie. So this posture places our value in our obedience, not in our relationship with God. But the truth is that we are God's children. In this passage, Jesus calls us back to a relationship. In verse 8, he says, you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers or sisters. We're all together. Your value is not in your performance. You're valued because you are a child of God, and God wants to be with us. In Matthew 11, Jesus is talking about something very similar to what we're talking about in chapter 23. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is the only one who knows the truth about what the Father is like in its fullness. And the Pharisees were setting up barriers to God. And Jesus invites us, instead, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Does anyone feel like they're carrying a heavy burden? I feel like life feels heavy. Jesus is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's just like an amen to that. Like rest for your soul, not just like 8 hours of sleep, but that like nagging inside of you that doesn't stop. Like there's peace for that. Our invitation is to take on the yoke of Jesus. Jesus knows every bit of that law that the Israelites were expected to follow. He had heard the teachings of these religious leaders for years before he even started his ministry. So my paraphrase of what we just read in Matthew 11 is basically Jesus saying, hey, that stuff's really heavy. That yoke is so heavy. All 613 laws, are you serious? Are you exhausted yet? Come to me, I have rest for you. When I was in college, I struggled a ton at wanting to be perfect. I had all these like different setups, all these different strategies for ways to angle my life and how to manipulate everything and everyone in it so that I would be seen as perfect. It was heartbreaking for me to realize when someone told me my senior year that no one thought it was relatable. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, because you don't have problems. And I was like, oh yeah, I do. Got a lot of them. And so in every single aspect, I just wanted to be perfect. It seemed like if I could manipulate my life, it would go okay. And I remember sitting in my apartment on this campus and the Lord just being so kind and saying, I don't need another Jesus. It's okay. And that was one of the most impactful moments of my whole life with the Lord. It just felt like that burden came off immediately. I was like, oh, thank God. Because this is really, really hard. And so the truth for us tonight is this. Your acceptance has absolutely nothing to do with your performance. Jesus is asking you to come along on a journey with him. And if you're willing to walk with Jesus, he's willing to do life with you. Not just teach you the rules, but teach you about himself, teach you about what he's like. Because for a long time, I was good at following the rules. But I didn't really know what Jesus was like. I didn't understand his personality. Your acceptance is found in Christ. So the way of Jesus is simple. Follow. You're invited into life with God, not a life under God, where he's just banging that gavel. God's more concerned about your heart than he is if you know how to follow the rules. And sure, he wants us to obey. That's fair. But he wants a relationship with you first. When Jesus came to this earth, he was given the name Emmanuel, God with us. One of my favorite translations of that is from The Message, and it said that God put on skin and moved into the neighborhood. And I think that's amazing. He's here. He's with you tonight. He's not up there somewhere. His Spirit's here, living in you, asking you to come and follow him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God who wants to be with us, that we can know you, that you've made yourself available. And for some of us in this room, that might be a harder thing to accept than others. If our only strategy has ever been perfectionism, God, I pray that strategy would just crumble at the cross tonight. That you would make your heart known to us. That you would show us what you're like. Who you are. And God, even if that feels scary, we would enter into relationship with you. We would tell you things that we've been keeping from you. We would enter into community with you, to communion with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach us what it's like to live life with you. We don't always know what to do. Rules are easier than a relationship. But God, in your grace, I know that you're going to be kind. So we love you and we trust you and we say yes, even to the unknown that's in front of us, as long as you're coming with us. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.